Hi there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. Reunited after a three-week break, two great tournaments to look ahead to this week. But most importantly, Steve, how are you feeling? I was getting slightly concerned last week with you and Jack. You seem to exceed the daily dose of cough syrup, the weekly dose in about half an hour. It was a little bit disturbing. Have you read the maximum dosage allowance on the label?
I have since, yeah. I did realise I got a bit carried away with that. I didn't realise it was quite so potent. And then I read up what could happen if you did overdose on that. And there was all sorts, you know, hallucinations and, you know, potentially fatal. So, yeah, I must urge viewers not to repeat what I did there.
But you sound much, much, much more chipper.
Yeah. I do feel like I'm finally over that one. Yeah. Back to full throttle.
Good. Glad to hear it. So we've got the Houston Open and we've got the AV. Is it AVIV or AVIV?
Something. It's a good question. I don't know. I'm not going to get bogged down in that. That's not going to help us find the winner. But
yeah, it's not, is it? No. Before we talk about the what's coming up, we better look back, haven't we? And I've got a face full of metaphorical egg, haven't I? Thomas Peters, who I've spent the last 2 years telling Steve not to tip and just been massively down on him. He got the job done, didn't he, in Portugal, Steve?
Well, I haven't finished my lines yet. I've done 9,500. I've
still, you can still stop.
Still got 500 to go, but I guess I can be excused now.
Oh, mate, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, what a performance. What a player. I mean, he must have won you over. I mean,
when
Thomas Peters putts well, he's got a very good chance of winning because he's a phenomenal ball striker. And last week, he putted well. So that's five European Tour wins before his 30th birthday. It's not bad going, is it?
No, you're right. World Cup winner,
top scored in a Ryder Cup. And that approach to the 17th on Sunday, I think that just summed up the ability of Thomas Peters. The second shot to the 17th, tournament still in the balance. Amazing to find the green in two shots with such effortless power. Just ease the faded five iron into the
middle. Yeah, I mean, Pavon did make it easy for him. Three trips to the drink on the back nine. Now, it was mad, right? Because I put my money where my mouth is and I laid Peters. And I was out and about and I looked on the European Tour app and saw that he was Pavon was still two clear with six to go. So I went on to Bet365 to see what the latest betting was, try and get some sort of, you know, comfort from that. And, you know, 365 had that really great in-play thing that's really quick and much, much quicker than that. Oh, I've looked at it and it says that Pavon's two behind. I'm like, well, that can't be right. I've literally seen on the European Tour app 30 seconds ago that he's two clear. Four-shot swing in one hole.
Yeah. The snowman, the second snowman of the week. Adrian Hughes had a snowman earlier in the week. But, yeah, Matthew Pavon, very shaky in contention. Thomas Peters was available at 4-5 going into that final round with a massive buffer to the third place. So
he was available on my Betfair account at 4-5.
Yeah, was he really? I thought he was a good thing from there, and we went with him. The thing is that the week before in the Mallorca Open, before you administered my detention, he finished 16th in the Mallorca Open for the wrong side of the draw. So there's quite a significant draw bias in Mallorca. So he did okay to finish 16th in that. And he had a good record in an amateur event. He finished second in an amateur event at the Dom Pedro last week. So I think a lot of people would have taken that 25-1 had they been allowed.
You didn't send me any sneering texts, did you? You were very restrained about it. I appreciate that, mate.
That's all right. No. I tried to be the bigger man.
but you're very
Thomas Peters is up to 74th in the world rankings now. I must. He's only going to go one way from there. He's qualified for the DP World Tour Championship now. He's going to play this week, but he's not bothering now because he's back in the big time. He can win majors. He was fourth in the 2017 Masters. Come on, let's not forget this. And he was sixth in the 2018 USPGA. I think he's going to go from strength to strength.
I'm saying nothing. Let's look at what happened over the pond where Victor Hovland got it done in Mexico at Mayakoba. He put it to bed really on Saturday, didn't he, with that lovely 62 and then just cruised to victory thereafter. Good win by the Hovmeister, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, two of my favourite players won last week. I can't help thinking what might have been. I mean, the pre-tournament media conference for Hovland was so eye-catching. He spoke about how he loves El Camaleon and he feels like a veteran there because he played well in a couple of bigger amateur events before becoming a Mayakoba regular. So he said it's like the only PGA Tour event where he feels like a veteran. And he said he loves the Paspalum greens that remind him of the ones in Norway, much slower and flatter than your average PGA Tour event. When he grew up in Norway, he said he putted on greens like that. So you could see in that pre-tournament media conference how excited he was about the week, and that's how it unfolded. I mean, I fortunately got on better late than never for top European, tipped him for top European at 11-2, and he never gave the others a sniff on Sunday. So
no,
Victor Hovland and El Camaleon could be a love affair that just runs and runs. I mean, even his driver being snapped on tournament eve. Did you follow that?
No, I didn't. No,
on the driving range on tournament eve, Danny Lee was on the driving range, one of his mates. Danny Lee's doing a bit of speed training. Hovland's driver is an inch longer than Danny Lee's, and he gave it to Danny Lee. He goes, "Oh, see how you get on with that, mate. That'll get you a bit more action."
And he
first shot, smashed his driver to smithereens, like the silence befalls the driving range.
Brilliant. I'm sure he must have a spare, an identical spare, doesn't he?
Well, he was scrabbling around the range trying to find someone who had, and James Hahn had one with similar specifications, but a shorter one. So Hovland had to play with a shorter driver than he normally does, and actually got a bit more control off the tee, and on that course it worked out. But
it just goes to show, though, doesn't it? They're a bit fussy with their equipment, aren't they? You know, I mean, a golf club's a golf club, isn't it?
Well, when he was slightly slower out of the traps, I thought that was going to save me, because Billy Horschel got out of the traps really well, opening 64, got quite excited about him, then he faded away. Abraham Answer did the opposite, slow out the gates, came with a late rattle, tied for seventh place. There were so many close ones, but no cigars last week. Adrian Newsy made a snowman on the Saturday when he was looking for all the world like the winner.
Newsy's snowman's relevant, but Pavon's isn't all of a sudden. Hang on, you've got to be consistent, mate.
I don't think Pavon's one to follow, but I think Adrianou certainly is. I think Adrianou will win at some point soon. Min Woo Lee tied eighth as well. So yeah,
I know, it was frustrating, wasn't it, on the old each way dubs?
Yeah, very, very frustrating. But we're
going. Yeah, Horshaw. I mean, he got off to a great start, didn't he? And he must be delighted with West Ham's good form, hasn't he? Apparently, Mark Noble's going over to America to play golf with him.
They're good in the close season. Yeah, they're great pals now. Yeah. Yeah, West Ham beat Liverpool 3-2. No, yeah, astonishing.
I can't stop. Whenever West Ham do well, I always think of that relationship you had with our unnamed colleague who, when you first started, do you remember he came? Well, of course you remember. He's been going on for two decades, hasn't he? He came down and had a chat with you about West Ham, didn't he? And you were chatting away and, you know, saying how good they were. And he then assumed you were a West Ham fan.
Oh, yes, I know the one you mean.
You had to pretend for about the next 15 years that you're a West Ham fan.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I kind of wish I was a West Ham fan. Now they're going lovely, aren't they?
They certainly are, mate. They certainly are. Anything else catch your eye before we move on to this week?
No, kind of the ones that did sort of relate to this week's bet. So, yeah, I think we should plough on.
Let's plough on with the Houston Open. Takes place in America, in Texas. Steve will tell us exactly where in a mo. Let's have a look at the market first, though. You need to get your bets on by, it says here, 7 a.m. It can't be 7 a.m., can it? Not our time. Anyway, it's probably about midday Thursday, I would imagine. Anyway, Sam Burns, one of the hottest golfers on the planet, is 16s. Scottie Scheffler, 18s. Sungjae Im, 22. Matthew Wolff, 25. Finau, 25. Cam Smith, 25. Tyrrell Hatton, 28. Brooks Koepka, 30. Wise, 30. Neiman, 30. So, really good field. The elite aren't really there. That sort of top five or six, they're not about. But there's some really, really good players in this. So, decent tournament. Where is it taking place, Steve?
Memorial Park, Houston, Texas, 7,412 yards, par 70. So no pushover. Made its return to the PGA Tour last year. 1963 was the previous occasion it was used. Tom Doak and Brooks Koepka gave it a little redesign prior to last year's event to modernise it. Koepka got the fairways widened. So, yeah, maybe selfishly trying to help.
Would.
Yeah, maybe helping himself a little bit there. So very generous targets off the tee, more of a second shot course. The green's extremely undulating with runoff areas around them. So long driving, accurate approach shots and sharp scrambling is the order of the day.
Right, we are. How many selections have we got?
Four!
It's good to hear that you're fit. Your throat is fit for a nice lusty four again. That's great. That shows your back. That's the litmus test, isn't it, really?
It is.
Okay, let's have the headliner.
The chef. Scottie Scheffler at 18-1, the best maiden on the PGA Tour. The world rankings certainly agree with that statement. He performed superbly as a Ryder Cup wildcard in September. 2.5 points from three matches. Thrashed John Rahm 4-3 in the Sunday singles. It's taken a while to get going again in the wake of Whistling Straits. I mean, that was his career highlight by a long way.
Well, they were all hungover as well, aren't they?
Well, big party. But he closed with a 65 to finish mid-division in the CJ Cup. And then last week in the Maya Cobra, a course that doesn't really suit him, he finished fourth. His iron play was magnificent last week. He scrambled really well. He was top of the greens and regulation stats. So last week, really encouraging, going to a more suitable course this week. And in the lead up to the Maya Cobra, I found out that at Royal Oaks Country Club in Houston, Texas, he carded a round of 58 in practice. He made an eagle, than 11 birdies, out in 29, home in 29. I think he moves to another Houston course this week. He's 20 minutes up the road from the one that he just made a 58 at.
If I go Sheffield out and come home in 58, I'm quite happy. It's just mad, isn't it? 58.
It's a bonkers scorecard. No drop shots, 29-29. He played in the Houston Open last year, closed with a 65 for 32nd place. Not that exciting, but he had distractions last year. Masters debut was the following week. Do you remember we had that November Masters? So this was a week before that. This time, 100% focused on home state glory. He almost did it in his home state in the WGC match play in March. Lost the final to that, to Billy Horschel. I think Scheffler's time has come.
Brilliant. Okay, Scotty Scheffler is Steve's main selection. Don't forget, we'd love to hear who you fancy. Bang in your selections in the comments below. And if you nail a juicy winner, we'll give you a shout out next week. So, Scheffler, the main man, who's the main danger?
Next best, old friend, can't leave him out, Mr. Burns. I've so much affection for Mr. Burns. I know Scheffler and Burns are both, you know, high up in the market there. It's not like they're single-figure prices. I think it's a viable staking plan to back both. Burns is the FedEx Cup leader, and I wouldn't underestimate how much of a motivation that is. This is a young lad who suddenly knows he could set himself up for life, you know, be rich beyond his wildest dreams. I think the FedEx Cup would be a big target for him. Not many events left this year for him to take advantage of his form. I think his attitude would be spot on for Houston. He won the Sanderson Farms Championship for us with a ball striking masterclass. He contended in the Shriners next time out, and then he was fifth last time out in the CJ Cup, pair of weekend 66s. So he's just playing superbly. He fell in love with Memorial Park last year. He led after round two. He led after round three. He closed with a disappointing 72 to finish seventh. Obviously a tour maiden at that point. Nerves are plenty on the Sunday. He's won two PGA Tour titles since then. If he sets up a winning chance this time, a good chance he'll take it. Yeah, Scheffler and Burns, so hard to pick between them, but they're the standout options.
Okay, right then, who else have we got? I presume we've got some fairly juicy prices now, having tipped the front two in the market.
One bigger one, one massive one. Maverick McNealy, 40-1 sweet spot regular, two-time PGA Tour runner-up this year. Most recently in the Fortinet Championship in the middle of September. He was brilliant in that until making a mess of the 71st hole. He's improved nicely in his last three tournaments, 38th in the CJ Cup, 25th in the Zozo, 11th last week in the Maya Cobra, closed with a 64 on Sunday, the second best round of the day. He opened with a double bogey in that 64, so seven birdies and an eagle from there. McNealy clearly in possession of his A game. His approach play was fantastic last week. I think that's the most important attribute this week. That A game made him an amateur superstar. PGA Tour success inevitable, if you ask me. Why not this week? In last year's Houston Open, the only event we've had at this track, he was 113 places lower in the world rankings. He carded a pair of weekend 67s to finish 20th.
Wow. 40-1 you can get Maverick McNealy. It says here. Yep. Okay. And finally,
the last one is Davis Riley at 200-1. Another sweet spot regular, an attacking powerhouse who should fall in love with Memorial Park. He's from the Deep South, born in Mississippi, went to college in Alabama, comfortable in Texas. He's won two times on the Corn Ferry Tour. One of them came in Texas, TPC San Antonio. I think he's got a massive future. Seventh place in the Bermuda Championship the week before last. Really encouraging effort. Settled him down nicely. Missed the cut on the mark in the Maya Cobra. Wouldn't worry about that unsuitable track. And each way investment at 200s in Riley is well worth a little tickle.
It always amuses me when you say Davis Riley, because I always think of Mavis Riley. Do you remember Mavis Riley in Coronation Street? That really timid shopkeeper. It might be a little bit before your time, or you might have had better things to
I
do.
I never watched Coronation Street. No. I was always
into it.
Did you? Yeah, I did.
A long time ago. But Mavis was this hilariously, like, sort of meek lady who worked in the corner shop. And she had a sort of catchphrase. I think it's like, oh, I really don't know. She was very indecisive. But anyway,
EastEnders was my soap when I was a kid, because I used to fancy Lacey Turner, you know. Do you know Lacey Turner? What was her character? Yeah. Sorry, no, we're getting sidetracked here. I like the way she talked. She talked very sort of London.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I don't know who she is. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You got Lacey Turner.
Stacey Slater.
Yeah, wow. Right.
It's just unremittingly grim, isn't it, EastEnders? Oh, my goodness. It's just.
Well, they must run out of storylines. I mean, how long's that been going now? You can't keep generating new things to happen in the world, can you?
Oh, they seem to, but no, it's just there's no humour in it. It's just like, oh, God's sake, it's so grim. Who wants to watch that? Right then, are we all done in Houston?
Yes, we are.
Right, let's get across to Dubai then. It's the Aviv Dubai Championship. Tell us all about that, and then we'll have a look at the market, and then we'll get your selections.
Well, the same as Houston. We've only had one piece of course form here. We had an inaugural event last year, and we're at the Fire Course at the Jumeirah Golf Estates in Dubai. 7,480 yards, par 72. The Jumeirah Golf Estates is familiar to us all because it stages the annual DP World Tour Championship, which is next week, at the Earth Course. We're on the neighbouring Fire Course this week. Made its debut last year. Greg Norman designed. Fairway's a bit tighter than the Earth Course, but the greens are bigger. The greens are slower. It's a doddle for the tour pros. 25 under par won it last year.
Right, you are. And it starts very early on Thursday, so you're probably best off getting your bets on before you go to bed on Wednesday night. Here is the latest state of play as far as the betting goes. Shop around, as always, for best prices and best each-way terms. But we've got two standouts at the top. Paul Casey and Tommy Fleetwood, both round 11s. Bernd Wiesberger, the third member of the Ryder Cup team, is 18s. Matt Wallace is 20. Dean Burmester, 22. Minwoo Lee, 25. Rafa Cabrera Bello, 30. Thomas Detry, 30. Sam Horsfield, 33. And it's 40-1 bar. So it's kind of a regular European Tour event with a sprinkling of Ryder Cup stardust. That's probably the best way of describing it, isn't it, Steve?
I think that's a perfect way of describing it, yeah.
Thanks. Right then, how many selections? Lovely. Who's the first one?
Minwoo Lee.
You love Minwoo Lee, don't you?
I love Minwoo Lee. I'm keeping the faith with Minwoo Lee. He needs a strong end to this season to get in the top 50 of the world rankings. Last week, generally impressive. Just had a flat spell in the middle of the back nine on Saturday. Closed with a 66 on Sunday. I think he'll take a shine to the Fire Course. Didn't play it last year. He's done well in this region before. Finished fourth in the 2019 Saudi International. And I think he'll handle the breezy afternoons in Dubai really well. Every afternoon this week is forecast to have some breeze. The Fire Course is on the edge of the property. It gets windy at the Fire Course than the Earth Course. Lee is a Perth man. I know how windy it gets in Perth. He used to live there.
They should have a wind course as well, because then you could have earth, wind and fire, couldn't you?
They should. You should suggest that to Mr. Jeremiah. And if they did play one of the wind course, then Minwoo Lee would definitely win that, because he's fantastic in the wind. So I think he's got all the tools to win on the Fire Course. And I'd much prefer him to the players above him in the bet. Some short prices at the top of that bet.
If they did have a wind course and it was really difficult, you could call it a bogey wonderland, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah, I suppose you could, couldn't you? Yeah.
You are aware of the Earth, Wind and Fire hit Boogie Wonderland,
eh? Yeah, I'm just digesting that. Yeah, you could. Yeah, you're full of ideas, isn't he? I don't know why Keith Pelly doesn't put you as his deputy.
Anyway, sorry, where were we? Minwoo Lee, have you finished making your case for him?
Very much so, John.
Okay, 25-1 Minwoo Lee. Who's the second selection?
Renato Paratori, a 90-1 chance. Italian slugger, two-time European Tour champion, still only 24. Seems like he's been around for ages. He got his tour card at the age of 17. One of the fastest players on the circuit. So you'll love him, Bruce. He's the complete opposite to your Bryson DeChambeau's.
But does that mean he gets frustrated if he's behind a bunch of snails or playing with a slow player?
Well, possibly. I think he's probably got used to it now. You know, he's probably the fastest player on the circuit. I think it's just something he's got to live with. He won the British Masters last year by 3 shots. Loads of reasons for thinking he can win at a massive price this week. He's lived in Dubai for about a year and a half. He knows the Fire Course well. That local knowledge showed to some degree last year. He's in third place through 3 rounds, finished 13th after a disappointing Sunday 72. This time he's arrived in really lively form. He was 9th in the Spanish Open, 25th at Valderrama, 11th in the Mallorca Open, couple of 72s in the Portugal Masters, missed the cut, don't worry about that. Paratori is putting amazingly well. You know, he's definitely got low scores in him this week.
Okay, so we've got Minwoo Lee and we've got Renato Paratore. Who are the other two tips?
The third one is Romain Langasque, who again we had last time. There's similarities between Paratore and Langasque in terms of playing speed. They are probably the two most fastest players on the circuit. But if they both contend this week, it'll probably be down to different ways of doing it. Paratori will put the lights out. Langasque will be stiff in his approaches. Langasque was awesome from TD Green in Portugal last week, but it was struggling on the greens. I think it's worth chancing at the odds that he finds a putting stroke between Portugal and Dubai. Yeah, I mentioned those breezy afternoons. Ball striking will count for plenty this week. Langasque won the Wales Open last year. I think victory number two is coming at some stage, possibly this week.
Does the wind present the potential for a draw bias, do you think, Steve? Or is it likely to be equally windy both afternoons?
Equally windy both afternoons. Four identical days. So, yeah, don't worry about that.
I certainly won't. Finally?
Finally, Clément Sauday at 200-1. Another Frenchman. Antoine Rosler won this last year. I think Langasque and Clément Sauday will represent France well this time. Sauday is a player I've always had a lot of time for. He's a four-time Challenge Tour champion. The last of those victories came in the Challenge Tour Grand Final in Oman. He almost won the Oman Open on the European Tour in 2019. I'd be staggered if you can't remember that one. Clément Sauday was our headline selection at a big price, and the agonising final hole three putt to lose by a shot.
Who won it?
Zanotti, I think, was it?
Kitayama,
I can't quite remember who won it. I just remember it was an absolute disaster for us. But he was 10th in the Oman Open last year, so he's got a great record in the Middle East. And on this particular track, he was 13th last year, pair of weekend 66s. These days, he struggles to get starts. He's not got a good status on the European Tour, but in his last five tournaments, he's made four decent checks. This assignment really suits him. I think he could get his career back on track this week. And punters will have to hunt around for prices. Only about 80% of bookies have priced up Clément Sauday so far because Thomas Peters withdrew on Monday and Clément Sauday replaced him in the field. So there is some 200-1. There's some 200-1 out there.
OK, talking of French golfers, there was another stereotype the other day by Boxall. You know, obviously, as we've talked about before, all Spanish players have a great short game and they're all inspired by Seve. All Australians are great wind players and they're all inspired by Greg Norman. Apparently, all French players are really flamboyant. I mean, to be honest, there is an element of truth with that, isn't there, I suppose, if you look at Wisson, maybe. But can you think of an unflamboyant French player?
Christian Sevier is probably the most unflamboyant Frenchman. Yeah, probably the most unflamboyant player in golf. So, yeah, there's one.
Well, that's a strong field, that.
But yeah, your Jean van der Velds, your Romain Langasque, your Victor Dubuissons. Yeah, there's a flamboyancy there. I mean, the French rugby team was always very flamboyant, I suppose. Mm. I can see where Boxall's going, but you just can't make these sweeping generalisations in this day and age, can you?
Exactly. Anyone else you want to meet? We better talk about Casey and Tommy Fleetwood. Did either of them tempt you in?
No, not at those prices. No. I mean, Paul Casey's doing without his normal caddy, isn't he? Old Long Socks McLaren has taken a little break for mental health issues. So, but I don't know who's going to be caddying for Paul Casey. It's a long trek over for him. I suppose you couldn't really justify it just for the DP World Tour Championship. He wanted to throw another event in. But Casey's not for me. Tommy Fleetwood. Yeah, I just
doesn't win. Disappointing year, hasn't he, Tommy?
Not winning tournaments at the moment, is he? No, so I can leave him alone at those odds.
Splendid. Okay, mate. Let's reiterate the tips, shall we? We've got the Houston Open. Who are your four for that?
Scottie Scheffler, Sam Burns, Maverick McNealy, and Davis Riley.
And then we've got the Aviv Dubai. What is it? Aviv Dubai, something or other. Championship.
Aviv Dubai Championship. Yeah, last year it was the Golf in Dubai Championship. Now it's the Aviv Dubai Championship. I have no idea what Aviv is. we'll find that out as soon as possible. But Minwoo Lee is going to win that. Renato Paratore is going to go well at a big price. Romain Langasque, if he finds his putting boots, is a threat. And Clément Sauday is overpriced.
Okay. They're a global media company. I did my research.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Global media. Because I wasn't sure whether it was meant to say Aviva, but it is absolutely Aviv.
Oh, well,
righto.
Good luck to them.
So that's this week's golf all done. What else is happening? All ready for Christmas?
My wife loves Christmas and is very
much. Yeah, prepare early.
She's probably completed all her Christmas shopping. I know how excited she gets by. Oh, yeah. She does prepare early, yeah. Are you a Christmas person?
Does she lavish you with gifts? Or do you
no,
I don't bother with me anymore.
Yeah, we do very much do that. Yeah, very much do the not bothering thing at the moment. Yeah, if I'm on a particularly good run with the bets, then we can justify it. But when I'm not, then we can't justify it. So no presents from me.
It's all about the kids, isn't it, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. Christmas. I can take it or leave it, but I just want to see smiles on the faces of my beautiful children.
Oh, lovely. That's what it's all about. Any other news?
I don't think so. No. I don't think I've got any news. Weymouth were playing at Chesterfield on Saturday, but that's quite a long journey. I don't think I'm going to be going up to Chesterfield for that.
I hope you get spanked in that. I hope you win 5-4 and Chesterfield's centre forward, what's his name? Andrew Wilshire, our brilliant US editor and also a very good non-league expert. He tipped me a footballer to win the National League Golden Boot. I'm just trying to find his name.
I see.
And his name is Kabonga Tishmanga. And he was 20-1 at the time. He put him up in the paper as well, and he's now 6-4. So.
Oh really? Oh no, he can expect to put a few in the onion bag on Saturday. Yeah. No, it's a good bet there. And Palace are playing well, aren't they? You must be.
We're flying, mate. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. Very enjoyable. It's a shame we've got an international week, really. Oh, international break. But never mind. Hopefully we'll be all right. We'll come back flying for, I think we've got Burnley next up. So, yeah, no, very pleased with what's happening there. Yeah. Next week, Steve, we've got the RSM Classic and we've got the DP World Tour Championship. Two good ones there, aren't they?
Yeah, I will whet appetites a little bit further. I think we're going to be previewing the Dunlop Phoenix as well.
Oh, fantastic.
So yeah, we can have each way trebles next week. So if that doesn't whet your appetite, then nothing will, really.
And you're back next week, are
you? Oh, very much so. Yeah, I love a triple header.
Brilliant. All right, then, Steve, many thanks. Thank you for watching. Like I say, do get your selections in down the bottom and do bet responsibly. Don't waste all the Christmas present money on bets. We'll be back next Tuesday for another sweet spot.